Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is a portion of the scriptures which we have heard. Let us hear it again. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 to 27. Let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. In Christ Jesus, dear anointed one. Our text is concerned with spiritual well-being, with continued spiritual well-being of those who are taught by God, the children of God. This first letter of the Apostle John is written to Christians, to children of God who have been grounded in things of the Spirit, who, as John says, have an anointing from the Holy One, an anointing which abides in them. The message that was declared to them, the word that taught them, was that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The word that taught them is that they should confess their sins, that they should believe that God is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And they should walk in the light as he is in the light, for they have been cleansed. They know these truths, John says, and they know that no lie springs from the truth. John's concern is for the spiritual steadfastness of these children of God, lest they be led astray. He says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Their faith was being endangered by false teachers, from those, the teachers which came from those who apparently had left the Christian faith. They were those who taught that Jesus was a much greater man than ordinary man, that he was still just man. Especially in regard to his passion, they held that Jesus, the man, suffered and died. In contrast, John proclaimed to them, and he proclaims to us here today, that the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of God's Son. Not just the blood of man, but the blood of God's Son. It cleanses us from all sin. And that this Jesus Christ is he who came by water and blood. For he is the propitiation, not only for their sins, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And it is the Spirit of truth who bears witness to him, who teaches us concerning all things, whose witness is true, whose witness is not a lie. In fact, whose witness is a test of spirit, whether they are God. John says in this same letter over and over again, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Again, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And again, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. In our text, John is emphasizing the working of the Holy Spirit through the word, through that, he says, which you have heard from the beginning. He is emphasizing the importance of being taught by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit teaching and doing. It is the teaching that gives us the strength to endure. For if his teaching abides in us, we will also abide in the Son and in the Father, and we will have what he has promised us, eternal life. And all that God entails, and what a life that is. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? That is, no other person knows what is in your mind. You are the only person who knows what is in your mind." Even so, Paul says, "No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Let me continue. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And these things are to be speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, we are powerless to understand God without God's help. We are unwilling to accept the things of the Spirit of God without God's help. We cannot exist spiritually, that is, unto life eternal, without being taught by the Spirit of God. Luther said it very clearly, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, and enlightened me with his gift, sanctified, and kept me in the true faith. And this is most certainly true." The last verse of our text follows the same train of thought. It says, "The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And this is most certainly true. God is our teacher. And this is most certainly true." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.